Welcome back. Day two of this epic 1,000 mile challenge with, by the way, 100,000 feet of ascent. Just thrown in a group of nine mates that are all running for a charity, so a really good cause, but in the Scottish winter, for want of a better word, and the Scottish summer, as we all know, is pretty cold. So they are really going hardcore during January. So I'm catching up with Graham once again today. This will be after his first run, his first shift of 4 hours. This is the first chat that we've had just to find out how it went, how the team are doing, and in general, how his body and mind are holding up. So I expect him to be in high spirits, as Graham always is, regardless of what's going on, but it's a really, really good chat. And if you hear some feedback, there is every now and then a little bit of feedback on the line. Just, you know, hopefully it doesn't take away, it doesn't detract too much from the information that Graham's given us and the chat in general, but apologies for that. I don't really know what was happening. I couldn't fix it whilst we were chatting, so we plugged on regardless, but hopefully in terms of what you learn and the value that you get out of it, it far outweighs the every now and then little bits of feedback. So without further ado, let's get just straight into day two of Endeavour with Team Pylon and our chat with Graham Connolly. How you doing?
I'm all right now. It's been a fuzzy day.
So but, give us the update, because I only know what John did. I text John earlier and I purposely haven't asked you how you actually did or what you did and how it went, because I thought it'd be really good to find out here.
I like it. Are we recording? Didn't you start like...
I'll prove to you we're recording. Hey, we're back, baby.
I was running my hill reps last night and I was like, as about 2.5 hours into running up and down this hill in the dark on my own at like 2 a.m, 3 a.m.
As you do.
And I was sitting thinking, I wish I had a recording of that music.
I will send it through.
That'd be awesome.
So go
I've been in talks with Simon Cowell about signing up for a one song deal, but he thinks it's going to have to be longer than 10 seconds. But we can work on that. So we do a team roundup.
Yeah, go for it.
Maybe chat about mine. Mm-hmm. So 36 hours in, we should have been on 214 miles and we're up at 245.
No.
So we're plus 31 miles. We should have clocked 21,429 feet ascent, and we are just a tad above 32,000. So we've got 10k ascent in the bag, which is a great position to be in. And we're ahead, but we've kind of been ahead the 2 years before as well.
Right.
And as we mentioned the last time, we kind of missed the target. So I think we had a kind of group Zoom chat, and it was kind of like we're. Yesterday was kind of this like living your best life phase, you know, getting that first run in. But like I've been feeling it, like, because I did the 12-4 shift, and I think Paul did that to kick off, and he was saying as well, like, that next day, like, it was just really, really tired, really fatigued, and you're kind of sitting thinking, I've got another four of these to go, but actually I've got to do that shift one more time. I think Paul's got to do that shift one more time, but the rest of the times are a wee bit more pleasant.
Yeah,
but it was kind of eventful. Chris Cowley, he ran round a forest up his way, and it's all kind of undulating icy trails. But he was well prepared. He had all the gear. He had like his ice spikes on, and then one of his ice spikes went, so he had like grip on one side, and he was just running on the other. I've got this mental image like he just ended up like a spinning top and running circles. And then Bob. So we were talking about running out with your circadian rhythm and getting up and eating, and I was glad of getting the opportunity to do that, and it went okay for me. But Bob, he did the 4-8 shift with men. He got up about 3 o'clock, I think, and had some food. And he was saying, like, he's just the time in his dinner and then the additional food, and he was running, and almost right away his stomach just went, no, Bob, you should be sleeping, Bob. So he was like, he was into cramps, and then he was into pit stops, we'll call them.
Yeah, let's call them pit stops. That's the kind way of putting it.
So he had some stomach issues. He says it was like we were talking about kind of keeping our powder dry. and kind of starting to pace myself maybe a wee bit more conservatively. And Bob was like, I've got the solution, just eat loads and loads of food and just run with an anchor that's in your stomach. He did an eventful night. And John and Paul, they squeezed in a couple of monster 8,000 plus foot sessions of climbing. And so that's kind of, the both of them were just shy of climbing the equivalent of Ben Nevis twice. I think they were about 600 feet short of Ben
Nevis. That puts twice. It in context,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, and they kind of sprinkled a cheeky kind of 20-ish, 21, 22 miles just on top of that as well, as well as all that climbing. Yeah, so they had some kind of monster sessions, and Paul put that on the back of a really big 30-plus mile session to kick the whole thing off. As did James and Grant, the both of them, they did some phenomenal running. They were like plus 30 miles as well.
Wow.
I think both of them got in, like over like a Monroe, over 3,000 feet worth of climbing as well. Marco and Kaz, they're split, they've got a split shift between them. And Marco, with just kind of logistics and stuff, he had to end up doing like kind of hill reps in like a house in a state. he ended up kind of getting like verbally abused by the local young team after him.
Yeah, I bet he did, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's some middle-aged guy living his best life, let's shout at him. And Kaz was kind of stand out. So Kaz, she lives in Chamonix. She's a genuine mountain dweller. So they have got like an insane amount of snow over there at the moment. Paul put a picture up on the chat. And there's just like this blanket of snow with like a little kind of hump in the middle, and that his car is making that hump. There's literally got to be like about 4.5 feet to 5 feet of snow over there. So much so, Chamonix, this historic mountain village, apparently they're getting to a point that they're removing so much snow from the roads, they're running out of places to put snow in Chamonix. So that's the conditions Kaz has been dealing with. She's been kind of repping up to like about 4,000 feet. So she's been getting up quite high, like 4,000 feet, like in this country, to the top of Ben Nevis. Mm. So you can imagine just how exposed that is, you know what I mean, with that altitude. So it's been a really eventful night to kick off, and there's been some solid performances. And
yeah, and that's day one.
Yeah, that's one.
That's day one, yeah. Nobody's even really that tired or sore yet. So like we had a group Zoom chat, and it was all kind of chatty and flowing, and we were saying like by the time Thursday, Friday comes, we're all just going to be sitting on here staring at each other, just tired and grumpy and sore.
Yeah,
no, the reality. Sorry, Ben.
I was just going to say you wouldn't want to talk to each other. I would have thought you'd be like.
Yeah, we'll just be sitting there and I'm like, yeah, right, I've just run. I've got another run. I've got another one of these. I don't want to talk about it. It's just because it is kind of, we're doing it from your house. There is like a real threat of it kind of becoming a bit Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Because like you need to get that distance and you need to get that ascent. And the combination of the two from your front door, your options are limited, you know. Like I'm probably going to be on the same hill for my five sessions.
But you said yesterday you're going to go up and down this same hill. When it's you're doing that much climbing in a session, can you really run it, or are you just kind of power walking up the hills?
No, we do run. That's kind of I mean, if you're doing an ultra marathon, anything under. Well, if you're doing one of the kind of shorter middle distance ones, if you're about 40, 50, 60 miles in an ultra marathon, if you want to be competitive, if you're running the hills. And that, I'm not entirely sure. Like, I live in an echo chamber, you know, I live in a bubble where that's just completely normal.
That's just normal.
I don't know what that sounds like to other people, but we pretty much run all the hills. You would switch to hiking if you were doing like a mountain, if you were, but then saying that, a lot of people, they do quite a lot of running in the mountains too with the shorter stuff. If you were used to a or something, one of the longer races, or you were doing a training day in the mountains, like a good 6-7 hours in the mountains, you would have the poles out and you would hike. But any trails, if it's hills, you're running hills. So last night I was running all the hills. But in fact, there's a little steep kick at the end, and I had a little bit of tightness just on the outside of my shin. I felt like my post-tib tendon, and I decided just to have a wee walk, just rather than maybe risk flaring something up.
Yeah, that's it. And how's it feel today?
Say again.
There was an echo from me, wasn't there? How does it feel today?
It's all right. I'll find out. Probably about 4:45 in the morning. How it feels to start running on it again.
This is your 4 to 8 shift, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to this one. Last night was great getting the opportunity to run at midnight and see how my body was going to react, which seemed to go well. But this one, I'm kind of going to get closer to what my natural circadian rhythm is, so it's going to feel a bit better, and I'm probably going to get a better quality of sleep. Like trying to see when I came in last night about 4, and then by the time I kind of tried to refuel and get some decent food in, so I was ready to go again. I was in bed for about 5, but then my body was back up at 8, and like trying to get back to sleep again was just futile.
So what kind of distance did you get? You get in yesterday. You were, I don't think you said yet, did you?
Say again, sorry.
What distance did you get?
I ran 27 miles and about 3,200 feet. I've had it in my head for the start that I kind of want to tick off round about a marathon and get round about 3,000 feet. So I've got roughly a 10% buffer on each run for across the 5 of them. I think that just seems like I'm kind of like German engineering guy, you know, like I'm sensible, measured approach guy, you know. And also some of the other guys there, they're just a different level of runner for me, you know, and they can absorb so much more, and everybody knows their body well and what they can take. But another part of it for me is it's kind of quite important that later on in the week that nobody ends up kind of carrying my load, you know. So I'm really conscious of just looking out for myself at the outset and just kind of pacing it the same way you would a race, you know. You're going to keep yourself in there competitive, but at the same time, you're not going to blow your gas in the first 20, 30 miles, you know.
Well, even so, I mean, you're saying it as if it's like, you know, you're doing not even the smallest amount, you're running over a marathon every day. Like, that's, you have to put that into context. Like, there's no, most of the country wouldn't be able to do that. That's what you're doing. That's what you're all essentially near enough doing. It's just insane. I love it. I said to John earlier, I love it.
When you get into this ultra life, like, it takes over your life and it takes over all the relationships and the conversations you have, and you just end up living in this absolute echo chamber, and all these things just seem completely normal. But I do catch myself talking about stuff at work sometimes, and you're like, you must sound like such a douchebag, whereas you are just talking about things that are just totally normal to you, but it may sound as though you're kind of bragging or...
Well, we get that as triathletes, and vegans get it too. So I think everyone that's passionate about whatever they love, you get it. Yeah. Like you're the person that no one wants to talk to at a party, essentially.
I've came full circle now. Like I kind of had it the same when I was like, we kind of get into like MMA and cage fighting at like the ground floor level when it just kicked off at this country. And we were like super passionate about it. And then you got to a point when UFC came on the telly and everybody's walking about with the T-shirts at Asda, and like everybody's want to ask you about it. So you kind of got to a point, you kind of don't want to talk about it anymore. Yeah. And ultra running's kind of got to that point again, because it just seems to be, it's the same conversation you have all the time. Like I kind of try to measure it with, I kind of try to get balance between being encouraging to people but just not want to go over the same ground again.
I agree. Like there comes it's like with John actually cutting off social media, isn't there? I mean, he's he obviously now just doesn't want to talk about it. He just wants to do it.
There's probably more to it than that.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, this is my dumbing it down completely, but you know what I mean.
I think he's I think it is like a kind of focus thing for him, you know, and just trying to be a bit smarter about how he utilizes his time. And I think he's kind of just recognized that a lot of the social media stuff, it does just eat up your time, and it is addictive, and it is kind of counterproductive, you know.
So he's
done talking about ultra marathon running and watching other people's pictures and looking at videos and stuff, and rather than just get out and train and look after yourself.
This is it. Oh, well, I'm excited to find out what happens tomorrow. That's a solid start. You're way ahead of the curve. I mean, but like you say, that has been the case the last 2 years, but it's all positive, right? I mean, if everyone's smiling and everyone's chatty and...
It's looking good so far, but I think the first endeavour, we managed, myself included, we managed to take a few wrong turns. There was like construction works and stuff in the West End. The irony of the people who run on the West End and train on it all the time getting lost on it is astounding. Like, between us, we spent so many hours on it, but there was like construction works at night and stuff, and it was just, we had a couple of wrong turns, and that was like a bit of a burst tyre. And Endeavour, we just didn't know what we were getting into. You know, we there was no way we could recce the whole trail. None of us had been on probably about 80% of the routes we were running on. Our 100 hours was like just putting my thumb in the air and trying to figure out what the weather was going to be like over 4 days. And that was kind of the burst tyre on there. We just didn't know what we were getting into. But this time, the big thing is if we lose a runner today, we've potentially got to absorb another 100 miles.
This is the worry.
Yeah. That's the big thing. If we lose a runner, like we need to try and figure out how we make up that difference between us, you know. So that plus 31 miles and that 10,000 feet, that could be gone in 1 4-hour session if somebody ends up with tendonitis or a rolled ankle or something. So
yeah, Sam's ready to step in, Sam, aren't you?
Yeah.
You game, Sam?
Size, no, absolutely not. I think I've done longest run this year is about 12K, so I'd get left behind.
Yeah, but that was probably at like 5 minute miles or something. You're kind of insane. Every time you go out, it's like pulling trainers on and drowning yourself.
He did. He went out and did the 1 kilometer fast this morning. Did 2:42 for the kilometer.
Right. Yeah. To me, that's insane.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy. Like,
yeah. Not running up and down a mountain at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, the different types of insanity.
Yeah. Again, and you guys, you just live in that echo chamber as well, and that's just completely normal to you guys, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah. So are you gonna have to get to bed pretty soon for your 4 a.m.
I'm probably going to pop to the shop and just pick up a little bit of food, and then I'm going to probably just lock myself in the room and turn the lights out and just let the chemicals start burning up my brain to try and feel tired. But I think it'll be a bit easier to get tonight because I don't need to be up until maybe about 10:30 or something. So if I'm kind of lying in a dark room about 9 o'clock, saying that, I'll be riding in that room for 5 minutes and then I'll be on Instagram 10 minutes later.
Seeing what's going on.
Wasting my time. Looking at pictures of other people doing awesome things.
Yeah, and you're like in the midst of doing what you're doing.
My own endeavour.
Right, well, let's check in tomorrow then, if you like, and then we'll find out how it's going.
I was running last night and I was like, I got a bit bored. It was that nice. There was no challenging conditions. And it was a nice steady pace for longevity, which is, it probably sounds a bit weird, but it just, that's a bit boring. Like, say, unless you're on the top of a mountain and it's like 30 mile an hour winds and -4, that's stimulating.
That's fun. So,
yeah, that's kind of the norm. It has been for the last few weeks anyway. So I kind of got a bit bored because everything was just so kind of vanilla. And I was getting my headphones to put them in and I was going to like give you a wee update on the run and send you the video file and then, by the time I picked up my phone and put my headphones in, I thought, oh, I can't be arsed.
I've got a marathon to run.
Yeah, I'll maybe try and do that tonight if you want. I don't know what the quality of the footage will be like, but it might maybe a wee bit of energy to it.
Yeah, you know, man. What I mean? Do a little like a voice memo, you know, the voice memos like that, and then I can just pop that into one of the podcasts to kind of go here. We'll cut to Graham while he's out there.
Yeah, I kind of had that in my head, but. You know what it's like when you're out training, you come out with like these amazing ideas, like the amount of books I'm going to write and businesses I'm starting. And
don't get me
you
wrong.
You get in the door and you have like a milkshake and a bit of toast and you're like, you just want to watch Netflix and sit down. You kind of
this is it. Yeah. I've got 5 books to write and haven't written any of them.
I've actually got a file on my laptop and it's got like the name of a book I'd like to write and then it's got files inside of each of the chapters I'd like to cover. all of the files are empty.
Yeah, I've got the same. I've got exactly the same. I've got all my chapters of one of my books. I've got nothing in any of them.
It's all in my head, yeah. And it's all genius. But I basically need to figure out a way that I can type while I run.
I'm probably just going to cut the recording off there because actually Graham, Sam and I just talked rubbish for another about 10 minutes. It was not relevant to Endeavour or the challenge or anything. So I'm sure you don't want to hear too much of the insides of three mad people's heads while they're not talking about actually running. So let's just cut it here. Wish Graham all the best for this next run. And we're going to catch up with him tomorrow after his second run. And it's a late one this time. So I think it's 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. So when I say late, you could say it's early, whichever way you want to look at it. But let's see how he's holding up after the second run, and I'll catch you all tomorrow.